Let us pray. Father, as we look at your word today and the message that you have in it for us to use to your glory, may we understand it, digest it, and put it to use. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going into a period at St. Tim's, a period of transition. The end of August, our beloved pastor will be following where the Lord wants him to continue doing the Lord's work. But even now, we're already, as we're considering different processes that have to go on leading up to that, we're in a position of a transition. And the devil is out there right now, smirking, licking his lips, because from 1 Peter 5, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Once Pastor Dan leaves, we'll be even in an even more weakened position without a shepherd. The sheep in Jesus' time, the sheep out in the meadows that were vulnerable were the ones that were all on the, away from the shepherd who was looking after them. But Ephesians 6 gives us a solution. It's verses 11 to 18 is something that we should consider all the time. But even more so, when we know that the roaring lion is prowling around, looking to devour. Ephesians 6 through 18 starts, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. Four times in verses 11, 13, and 14, Paul calls Christians to resist, to stand firm in the spiritual battle. Whether confronting the roaring lion's efforts to instill distrust of God, forsake obedience, produce doctrinal confusion and falsehood, hinder our service to God, to bring division amongst us, this armor is our defense. We're to stand firm, having fastened on the belt of truth. In Greek it says, girding your waist with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is a distinctive characteristic of God. And as believers, if we faithfully live in obedience to and communion with Jesus Christ, his own righteousness produces in us the practical daily righteousness that overcomes our spiritual, that becomes our spiritual breastplate. I knew I should have put it in bigger font. Jesus said in the gospel reading, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. The first phrase, if you abide in me, relates to the genuineness of our relationship with Jesus. The second phrase, "My words abide in you," relates to our obedience. Our righteousness depends on abiding in Jesus and obeying his words. Verse 15, "And his shoes having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." The sandals of a Roman soldier were very important. They had cleats in the bottom, much like soccer players have, so that they could, when called upon, stand firm. And Paul's writing for us to put on that similar footwear given by the gospel of peace. Not the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of peace, that as believers through Christ, we are at peace with God. And he is on our side. It is that confidence of divine support which allows us to stand firm. Verse 16, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." This one verse identifies that we are not this armor that we're putting on, even though it's the armor of a personal armor of each individual soldier, the shield is different. Because the shield is what brings the platoon or the sentry of soldiers together. It's not the battle shield, small round, that they would go running into battle with. It's the one that we use to take up a defensive position. Be about 4 feet tall, or 2 feet wide, solid wood, covered with leather that had been soaked in water to repel flaming darts. And on the, they'd form a square. And on the outsides, the soldiers would be standing there like this, with the shield facing outward. And the ones all in the back and up to the center would have them there, over their heads. So it's standing, if we're standing there on our own with this shield, my shield's here. What's protecting here? What's protecting here? What's protecting here? This shield is us all together standing firm under the protection of the shield of faith. But again, the faith is not talking about our doctrine. The faith that has been handed down through all generations for us to hold and stand firm in. This is the faith of belief, trusting and obeying. You know that hymn, "Trust and Obey"? This is the shield that trusts and obey that Jesus is protecting us, is with us in all circumstances. We have to do it. That's where our body comes together. John, again, going back to the gospel, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you." How did he love us? Anybody?
Died for us.
Died for us. It's all through the whole of the gospel reading, all through the reading from 1 John, Love is agape love, self-sacrificing love. If you put yourself in that Roman platoon, and you've got these people with their shields up all around and over, and one of them decides to walk out, how would you feel? If they didn't form that defensive platoon, knowing that the ones beside them had their back or sides. It's the same with us. As we gather in this defensive position, and by the way, this defensive position in Roman times could be very quickly become an offensive. They could get running to a speed of 5 kilometers an hour and be like a human tank. So it's not necessary that we stay on the defensive. But as we're gathered together with our shield of faith as a body, and if somebody falls, we pick them up. We bring them back under the shield of faith. Somebody strays because the roaring lion has got the claw into them. Well, then yank them back under the shield of faith. Jesus in the gospel said, "These things I command you." It's not a choice. Well, maybe I'll love my brother and sister in Christ. 1 John, the reading said, if you say that you love the Father, who has born all of you believers, you cannot not love your brothers in God. If you say you do, but you don't, then you don't love God. We're to love one another as Jesus loved us. It's not just the degree or an intensity of the disciples' love for one another, but the very meaning of expressing that love. It is to express itself in self-sacrifice for one another, up to the point of death. Ask any of our brothers and sisters in the Middle East or in Africa, in countries like Nigeria, Mali, Iran, if they're willing to sacrifice themselves for their brother and sister, even to the point of death. And take the helmet of salvation. First, in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Paul says, the helmet of the hope of salvation. Now, don't get me wrong, Paul's not saying, put on this helmet and hope that you will be saved. No. It's hopes in Jesus are certainties of happening. We have, if we've placed our trust and obey in Jesus, we have salvation. It's guaranteed. And we're putting on the helmet of salvation, the certainty that no matter what happens, our salvation is certain. Then comes the one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now this sword for the Roman soldier was about 2 meters long.
2 feet.
Yeah, 1.2 meters. Thank you. I converted it and then forgot. Yeah, 2 feet long. Okay, so that's like not very long. But it was enough to poke out from behind the shield in case anybody got too close. So when we're in our within our shields of faith, we're to use the Word of God to repel any attacks. And then he closes this section. Ephesians 6:18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and staying alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. It's not saying pray. Pray in the Spirit. Stay alert. It's praying continually. Staying alert. In fact, in Greek, this staying alert would be getting no sleep. Being always watchful. I don't think we're supposed to take that quite literally. But praying at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and staying alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Both the praying and the being alert are connected with all the preceding instructions. As such, they're not additional commands, but are instead the means through which the prior instructions are accomplished. What powers are standing firm with all the armor on is the Holy Spirit, and conversing with the Holy Spirit, and understanding through conversation with the Holy Spirit the will of God. In the gospel, again, Jesus said in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you want and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified. John 14, he had already said to them, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And you've probably heard this, but just tacking on Jesus' name onto the end of a prayer is not praying in Jesus' name. If we don't abide in Jesus, if we're not obeying his commandments, if we're not in communication with the Holy Spirit, then we can't ask in his name. Because asking in his name implies knowing his will for us. And Jesus said in the gospel, he says, he's saying all of this that his joy, his delight in us as his disciples, that we may share his joy in a delight for our brothers and sisters, and that our joy may be full. You know, when we met with Archdeacon Darrell on Thursday, he said the most important thing to do at this time in our process of transition is pray. Praying at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and staying alert. Pray for our parish of St. Tim's. Pray for Pastor Dan, as he is also going through this transition right now, not knowing where the Lord wants him. And to be honest, sometimes the Lord leaves it to in our ideas to the last minute before informing us. But he knows where Pastor Dan's going to be. Pray for our selection committee. Pray for those that are going to be on this selection committee, that they may understand the will of God. Pray that all that the selection committee does is in the will of God. Pray for our archdeacon as he leads us through the process. Pray for our bishop, who will have the final say. Pray that all concerned will not be looking for the right man for the job, but will be looking to understand who God has already anointed to be our next shepherd. Pray that we may stand firm, clad in the full armor of God. Let us pray. Father, we do not know, as we enter this period of transition, we do not know where you will be taking us. But Father, we ask that we be willing to follow you wherever it may lead. That we put aside our wishes, our wants, our wills, to be there for each other, to carrying our shields of faith to protect each other, that roaring lion will have no chance with your flock here at St. Tim's. And that we will come to know your will for us now and for us in the future. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.